Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
So today's going to be a little bit different. As you know, that we have been in the series called Blunt. We're looking at some of the different sayings that Jesus said, blunt statements that he's made to us. And we've gone through multiple ones so far. But today, if you've been watching like on Facebook when we did the invite, we're going to be looking at Jesus' blunt statement that we ought to become like children. And so we're going to start things a little bit different this week by inviting three little itty-bitty people up here, and I'm going to talk to them and get some questions from them and see how this goes. So let us pray. No, I'm just kidding. But in working with the crack team of TSF Kids people, I need to, is she okay? Miss Autumn, would you take that chair there, please? You're not the only one. You're just the first one. Nope. This is your chair, your microphone. You ready? I know, but you climb up there all the time. Aaron Zurch. Let him go, Zeke. Let him go. And Zeke, we couldn't do you this time because you got the football game, so you'll be leaving early. However, that opens the door to your brother, Tobias. If you would take the other one. Okay, so, can you get up there? Don't fall. Don't fall. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys questions. You guys get to answer, okay? But you have to use your microphones. Tap on your microphones. Make sure they're working. Is Toby's working? Was it muted? Okay.
No.
Okay. So you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Okay. We'll do easy ones first. Starting here and working down the line. Tell me your name. Starting here. Moving on. What's your name?
Adam.
No, you have to talk in the microphone. They can't hear you.
Adam.
How's that? Is that better? Okay, next.
Aaron.
Nice.
Toby.
Hi, Toby.
Toby's looking pretty chill and relaxed over there. That's cool. Okay, so just ask you questions. What is your favorite thing to do? We'll give you some softballs and the microphone.
Draw.
Huh?
To draw.
Draw, okay. Aaron?
Color.
Good job not listening to the peer pressure.
What you got? Soccer?
That was a shocker. Okay, that's okay. Okay, so let's start on the other one this time. You ready, Toby?
Yeah.
What's your least favorite thing about school?
Math, because it takes forever.
Okay.
Math.
Science.
Science? I'm with you. I'm not a science guy. I thought you were going to say going, but that's okay.
I love
math. Okay. Ready for a little bit tougher? Aaron, we're going to go Aaron first. What is the first thing that you would do if there was no gravity?
Try to fly to space.
Okay. Tom?
I would fly. Go crazy.
Go crazy? Like, what does that look like? You don't know? You just go crazy? Okay, I got a feeling that's going to be your answer to most of these. I'm just kidding. Okay, you ready? It's Autumn first. What does your mom's laugh sound like?
Oh.
You don't know? Think about it for a second. I'll come back to Aaron.
I don't know.
Can you imitate her laugh?
No.
No? Are you worried about getting grounded? Okay. Aaron?
I don't know.
You guys are lying. Toby?
Don't know.
I'll come back to that. Toby, what's your dad afraid of? What scares your dad?
Heights.
Huh?
Heights.
Huh? Heights scare you? No? Okay.
Birds.
Scott, you afraid of birds?
I'm allergic to birds.
Allergic to birds.
I do not know.
You are so sucking up.
I don't know.
You don't know what Michael's afraid of? What would you say your dad is afraid of? That's not an answer. I'm not sure what that was, but that was not an answer. Okay. Who's the boss in your house? Aaron is?
Starting?
No. Yeah, you pick. Who do you want to go first?
I don't know.
But that was helpful. Toby, who's the boss in your house?
My dad.
Okay, so far, no. Mike's looking like, just keep going, keep going.
Matthew.
Mom.
Mom is? Michael's like, yeah.
Dad says it too.
That is too? Okay.
I want to be up there.
Oh. Toby. You ready?
Yeah.
Tell us how Florida was the last time you were there.
What?
Florida.
Last summer?
Yeah, when you went to Florida.
This summer.
This summer. Tell them about it.
We went to Universal Studios.
Yeah. And what did you do there?
I got an interactive one, and I also ride a Harry Potter ride.
Sweet. Did you like it?
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron, you have been to Florida as well.
My favorite part was going to Disney, and my favorite ride was Animal Kingdom Kilimanjaro Safari.
What'd you like about that?
Elephants.
Nice. You've been to Florida?
Yeah.
What'd you like? What'd
Disney.
You do?
Disney.
What'd you like about Disney?
We gotta go on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I love that ride.
You love that ride? Okay. Huh? Except for she hates science.
Yeah,
she hates science. Calling you out from the back. Okay, here's a good one. You guys ready? Aaron, what's your mom sound like when she laughs?
I don't know.
I know, but you guys didn't answer it, so I'm trying again.
I don't know.
Damn.
We don't know.
Oh, I said she just did it. Toby, you going to answer that question, or is everybody else just copping out? What does your mom sound like when she laughs? You want to do the snort?
What?
You going to do the snort? No? Okay. They're not dumb kids, are they? They know they gotta go back home. Okay. I'm going to start with you. If you could plan a really good day for your sister, what would you guys do? Not beat each other.
She would like that.
She would like that. It's pretty jacked up, isn't it? Okay, you're still thinking, Aaron? Perfect day for Matthew. And he's watching in the nursery, so.
I would probably create robots of Dippos, which my brother made. Don't ask me what they are. And trap him in there.
And trap him in there.
Forever.
It's just for a day, Ewan. Just for the day. Not planning his eternity. Toby?
Me and Zeke would play football and soccer.
Zeke seems pretty happy about that solution. Okay. What would you do for Scully?
Feed her candy.
Yeah. Jack her up on sugar. Mm-hmm. Let her loose in the house.
She's crying.
Yeah, I don't think your mom's laughing anymore. Okay, Aaron, what scares you?
Thunderstorms.
That's a good one. Autumn?
I don't know.
Nothing scares you?
Something scares me.
What scares you?
Snakes.
Snakes, okay. I can 100% get on board with that. Tobias?
Big thunderstorms.
Okay, what makes you feel better when you're scared?
What?
What makes you feel better when you're scared?
Staying inside.
Makes sense. Aaron?
Probably if it's in the night, going to my mom's room and sleeping in there.
Okay, that's a good one.
Snuggling with my mom.
Snuggling with your mom. So you see a snake and you go snuggle with your mom? Makes sense.
Or just run away from the snake.
Or run away from the snake. Makes sense. What's a day in your life look like? Just a
sleeping.
Okay, so yes, you do get some things from your dad. What else? Nothing. It was a bad joke. Fits my house better than yours. What else do you do? Like, just from beginning to end, what do you do on a typical day, Autumn? I'm still on you. You tried to get out of it.
I would just sleep and draw.
Sleep and draw? Okay.
Or watch my iPad.
Watch your iPad? Okay. Parents probably should send you to school. Aaron?
I just go outside and come inside, go inside and come out inside.
Do you do anything when you're outside, or you literally just walk out the door, get back in, get back out the door, go back in, go back?
I play soccer.
Okay.
I look at your assy.
What's that?
I know who you asked this.
Okay. I have to go back myself. What's a day in your life look like? A typical day in the life of Tobias looks like what? What do you do?
Learning at school.
Aaron, do you want to chime in on that? Did you have a thought? No? Okay. Okay, that was confusion. Okay, let's start with what, Toby this time, you think? Okay. Toby, what do you do for a living?
What?
What do you do for a living?
I know what that means.
What job do you have? How do you pay for things?
I don't pay for stuff.
What do you mean you don't pay for stuff?
I do, I don't have a job.
You don't have a job?
Oh, yeah, my job is cool.
Aaron, what do you do for a living?
I don't know.
Have you ever gone to your work that you get?
No.
No? How do you get stuff? The clothes. You got clothes on right now. How did you get your clothes?
My mom got them for me.
Okay. What do you do for a living?
Listen to mom and dad.
By the way, if you ask Michael what he does for a living, that's a very similar answer. I do what Jessica says. If you could meet one Bible character, who would you want to meet? Joey.
God.
God? Okay. That would happen. Toby?
Paul.
Why Paul?
Wait, no.
Did I just make you change your answer? I was just
Elijah.
Okay. And you?
Noah.
Noah? That was a good one. You just want to see the animals, don't you? Toby, if you could ask Jesus one thing, what would you want to ask him?
Can you help me get better at soccer?
I love your global outside. What do you think, Aaron?
Heal all my rug burns that I got at school on Friday, which it hurts really bad.
What did you do? Rug burns.
Ask to heal this rug burn. It hurts.
Are teachers dragging you? Did the teachers drag you in your class?
No, I fell on the
carpet. You fell? Oh, okay. Yeah, that's no fun.
Ask to hug him.
Have what?
Ask to hug him.
Oh, okay, that's the adorable word. Ask to hug him. What did you say? What'd you say? What'd I miss?
I think Zeke's leaving. That's what I said.
Oh, okay. Zeke's leaving. Goodbye, Zeke. Your mom's behind you.
Bye. Bye, Zeke.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have fun.
Toby, I've got some questions now. Zeke's out of the room. I'm kidding. Bye, kids. What does God want us to do while we're here?
Talk with me.
Yeah.
Love him.
Huh?
Love him.
Love him. Okay. That's better than what I thought you said. Nothing. Aaron?
Learn about him.
Okay.
Listen. Listen.
Listen. Okay.
Also praise.
That's a good one. Any others? No? Okay. Aaron, when you pray, what do you pray for?
People to get better when they're sick.
That's a good one. Autumn?
Help people.
Help people? That's a really good one. Tim?
I don't know.
You can say what you want. Your mom's gone.
What?
Nothing. Don't have anything in particular you pray about?
No.
Okay.
If somebody get hurt, you can pray for them.
Okay, that's a good one. Autumn, who's your favorite pastor?
You.
Aaron?
You.
Good.
My dad?
I was wondering. I was actually setting that up.
Because he's the worship pastor.
He is the worship pastor. And you caught it. You did well. Because I was going to call you out for not choosing your dad, but you've nailed it. Good job. Okay. Anything else you want to say?
You.
It's too late. Too late.
Okay, you're my second favorite.
Huh? What's your mom sound like when she laughs?
I don't know.
What's your mom sound like when she yells?
No.
Oh, I know you know that one. I know you know that one. Okay, so last one. I'll tell you what. I will ask the kid teachers today. Who's all back here? Audrey and Jess? Okay, for all of you guys, they're going to ask you this one over there, okay? If you were in the circus, what would your act be? Anybody got any immediate responses? Think about it. They're going to ask you. Okay? Now get out. Back to class. Good job, you guys.
I like nothing.
Okay, so as we adjust just a little bit here, if you would, let's go ahead and get in our Bibles. We're going to go to the section where we're pulling this particular quote from. Da, 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 da. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 19, going over to verse 13 as we dig in. So, while you're getting there, I'm not quite there yet, a board writer, which I was all excited because Carrie was back. And now Carrie's in the nursery, so that didn't work out. So, Ginger's gone. She did last week, and she didn't get struck down by lightning, right? So now I need a new person. And we've noticed, okay, since she didn't get struck down by lightning, we can kind of start taking and messing with the degrees of holiness that you have to be able to do the marker board and see if the next person gets struck down or not. I'm feeling a little daring. Amanda Book. Yay! Let's see if you get struck down by lightning or not. Huh? You're the only people who can spell in this church. What? What? That's not crit. Your pastor doesn't spell. What the crap? So before we read the scripture that goes with it, if, okay, let's just all agree that Jesus says, and we're going to find the proof over here, that Jesus says we're supposed to become like children. And watching them and listening to them, what things do you see in the kids that you could adopt to be more like children in a way that would please Jesus? Thoughts?
Spontaneous.
Spontaneous? Thank you for a tougher word. I have no clue. Does she spell it right? No, notice it's the non-teachers answering.
What?
Carefree. Awesome. Thank you, madame. What else? Huh? Courageousness? I don't think it's a word either, but like I said, she's not a teacher. What else?
Open-minded?
What's that? What'd you say, Lynn? Oh, what said? You said something about faith. Sweet faith. Where's your daughter?
She's sick.
Nah. Pray for Monica. She'll be better by lunch. What else? Truthful? What was over here?
Blunt honesty.
Blunt honesty, okay.
Innocence.
Innocence? Now remember, we're talking about the kids, not just me. What else? Trusting? I really am not the best at hearing trusting.
Trusting.
Is your mother-in-law, so.
It's the best one.
Best one, sure.
Giving?
Giving?
Loving.
What did you see that was giving?
They were supportive of each other.
Supportive of each other, okay. Supportive of each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, giving their answers? Well, Skylar was wanting to fight. That was the thing she was excited about, yeah. But she knows her sister. Yeah, but that's true.
Those kids were very loyal to their mothers.
Yeah, they were very scared of their mothers. Sorry, Heather was talking about her last vacation.
Confident?
Anything else? We'll say comfortable, yeah.
I don't know if there's one word, but not jaded. Not jaded is a word. Unjaded.
Jadedless.
A-jaded.
We're going to write two words.
Okay. Sweet faith was two words.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
More honesty.
Humorous.
Humorous? That you, Dan? Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Ooh.
So much for the two word answers.
That's a lot of words.
I mean, that could go under honest.
That is kind of honest.
Well, but it kind of takes it to another level, though, I think. Yeah, it's worth it. It's brainstorming. There's no wrong answers. Huh? Humility? Yeah, but now you're trying to take the thunder from the sermon. What else? What is it? I can't hear you. Vulnerable, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Deaf would be one of those. Anybody else?
Absolute faith.
Absolute faith? Trusting? Oh, I think we actually, yeah.
Oh,
we can put a little line from one to the other, yeah. Really, really trusting.
Times two.
Times two.
I'm just joking.
Anybody else? We good?
Is that pretty much loyal over
there? Loyal? Yeah, I would say so. Once again, especially to moms. One more. Yeah. One more. Caroline. Sweet Caroline. Thank you. I was wondering, like, nobody in the church did it. You're awesome. Thank you, Miss Amanda. Okay, so with these things on the table, let's read from the scripture a little bit. When we get to 19, I do think we need to know a little bit about the context of when Jesus takes and says this incredible blunt statement. Where if you look at the beginning for the first 12 verses, he is teaching adults about divorce and about marriage, and about the seriousness of marriage and the commitment within it. And then this breaks out. Then this steps in. So there's just, I don't know if there's just a pause or if there's a little bit of a lull, but this is where the situation comes into. And I think that'll be kind of important in kind of getting a little bit of a feel of why it went the way it did. But starting out verse 13, then children were brought to Jesus that he might lay hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them, and they went away. Now, when I'm talking about the context of it is, I think depending on your past possible church experience, if you were raised in the church, some churches are very liberal and enjoy their kids quite a bit. Other ones are be quiet until you get to the age of 18, and then you're legally allowed to speak for the first time in your life. You know, there's all kinds of span in that, but that also happens in families. That happens in maybe the schools that you're in or whatever the case may be. So depending on that, that could affect the way that we see this particular scripture thing. So looking at the context of the time, children were regarded not too far away from what healthy people regard children as. Children were not seen as property, or especially the boys. They weren't seen as an annoyance. They were generally highly regarded. But that doesn't mean that they really wanted them in the forefront all the time. Kids coming up to a rabbi to have their hands laid on them and to bless them and pray over them was very common, even within the Sadducees and the Pharisees that were there taking and challenging Jesus with his teachings on the family. So it's not that too far out of whack. I think the thing that probably threw the apostles most, but again, this is using that educated biblical imagination that we talk about so much, is that Jesus is teaching on a very serious topic, and then all of a sudden it's interrupted by the kids. And so, and I love the way Jesus responds, because even today, when we do this, there could be, I think logically, depending on your demeanor or your makeup or how much you like kids or how much you can't stand kids or whatnot, that some would say, oh, great, they're bringing kids up there. Good luck. Let's see how this goes. And I came here for a serious teaching, and now we've got a bunch of kids up there, and we're being goofy, and we're being silly. I think that's kind of the mentality that the apostles had, where Jesus was saying, get them up here. No, bring them up here, because not only is this not an interruption, they actually have things to teach you. And I think that's a big part of where the apostles were kind of struggling within this. So Jesus is saying, you know, bring them on. You can learn from them. And then that's where the blunt statement comes from. Let them come to me, for to them, or to such those, belong the kingdom of heaven. And what we see here is that Jesus really wants humility. But I think it's past humility. I think it's another step past humility. Let me share this with you. If you go back just a little bit to 18, it wasn't very long before this that Jesus was teaching on the exact same thing. Some of the wording is a little bit different, but I think we'll all easily agree that these all go together. Starting out in verse 1 of chapter 18, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So this is another one of these times that we see the apostles fighting who gets to be the greatest. Between John and James and Paul, not Paul at that point, but Peter and Thomas, all the different, who's the greatest in heaven? How do we get to that point where we're like your right-hand man? And calling to him in verse 2, Jesus calls a child to him, and he puts him in the midst of them and says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child, my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck, and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. We had, we're working on this kind of behind the scenes thing, and I don't know if it's going to get off the ground or not, but I've got a pastor buddy group, myself and three other pastors here in town, and we've been talking about recently starting a podcast just for pastors talking, and just because I really enjoy our conversations when we're together, and we just kind of want to see if we can use that ministry-wise, if that just goes out, because a lot of things we talk about, I think the common Joe or Josephine and Mary could actually be ministered to by, instead of some of the things they see from church or pastors, or depending on what's in the past as well. And as we're talking about different ideas within it, Jeff from Mount Vernon Avenue Church of Christ, he brought up a book series, and I have them, but I haven't really looked at them that close. But it shows all, it has all these different teachings that Jesus does, all these different sayings that Jesus does, very similar to what we're doing now. And it asks at the end of each one, what if Jesus was serious about that? What if that, if he actually meant what he just said there? And so it's kind of an interesting premise to go into. And so if you bring that same mentality to this, what if Jesus was serious that if you make one of these kids walk away from the Lord, you'd be better off to put a heavy millstone around your neck, be dropped off a boat, go to the bottom of the ocean than what you have to deal with because you did that? What if Jesus was serious that we need to become like these guys to experience the kingdom of God? What if he's serious that we won't enter the kingdom of God if we're not like children when it comes to our faith and when it comes to the way that we live our life? That's pretty heavy. That gets to be something that's a little bit more extreme. And I think for most part when we hear the scriptures in the past or whatnot, it'd just be like, oh yeah, that's cute, or that's good, or that's, you know, I wish I was still a kid. That would be nice. But Jesus is saying this is very serious business. And this is something that's worth pausing, looking at, wondering, examining. How does this play into my life? And then we have to go back to even just the kingdom of God aspect of things. If you've been around for a while, we talked about this more in depth when we were going through those 2 years just on the life of Jesus, of what is the kingdom of God. I was with a pastor buddy, I don't know, 3 years ago, and we were having lunch, and he's like, I'm really just personally digging into what is the kingdom of God? And he goes, I'd really be interested in what's your view on that. Is the kingdom of God this heavenly place that we go to someday that the Bible represents as being up in the sky, and someday we'll have the kingdom of God? Or is the kingdom of God living now? Is there an aspect to that, to today? Is it just something I'm waiting on? If when I accept Jesus as leader and forgiver of my life, and give him my life, and I take that forgiveness, and I'm following him now, is it just me trying to get through all the muck and the mire of this world until I get to this promise? Or is that something that changes how my life is now? Are we living the kingdom of God now? And if you look at those two sections of scriptures, he talks about both. He talks about you will never enter the kingdom of God as the future, and I also think the present. But also, the kingdom of God belongs to those people who are childlike. I do believe that the kingdom of God is part of our living today. I don't believe we have to live like the world. I believe it's something that's accessible to his children when we become like his children. Does that make sense? So as I was going through these things, and I kind of want to say I had a feeling that the kids would kind of match up to this, but I'm going to put up some bullet points with the help of Chris here. It was just four things that were standing out to me, looking at his teaching and what he has here. But for those that like to take notes, we'll just go through those. But childlike faith, for us to become like children, it's simple, and we saw that up here. It's unselfconscious, that there's not a lot of like fear of how they see things. It's joyful and it's trusting. Simple, it's just, it's not clouded. It's just life is very, very simple to them. If you want to confuse at least these three, you ask them, how do you make your own provision? I don't make my own provision. I don't know what you're talking about. Mom buys that. Dad buys that. There's no aspect of all this complexity that the world brings to the table in their lives. There's a simplicity to it, where I believe we're called to be able to live the exact same way. How much time, as we talked about last week, as we were talking about you can't serve two masters, how much time do we put into the stress and the anxiety and the planning and the goals of trying to figure out provision instead of just trusting the fact that I'm in my Father's house? He's got this. This fellow's self-conscious. I'm telling you, those kids really don't worry too much about what you think of them. They're just not self-conscious like we are. I can almost promise you, first off, watch them after church today. They don't care how many people around there between the dancing and the chasing at each other and beating each other up and singing and all that kind of stuff. They could really kill us what's going on around them. There's no self-consciousness there whatsoever. If you go and ask the kids, so I'm curious, what is your circus act that you told your teacher? And they told you, and you say, can I see you act? You're more than likely going to see an act. If they won't be a gymnastic, you might as well get ready for some gymnastic moves. If they're going to be a ballerina, they're going to show you some ballet moves. And and if you say, I think that was stupid, there's something wrong with you, not them. That's just how they see things. Like, I don't know why that guy's such a jerk. And then they go out and they do some more flip-flops. There's not the same level of consciousness. If I ask the kids who wants to pray, they're fighting over each other. Versus adults who say, well, I don't know, I don't pray that well, I don't know how, you know, what to say, and I don't know if anybody's going to judge me for that, or whatever the case may be. There's just a whole nother level of just being free when it comes to what God has created them to be and what God calls them to do. Joyful, by far, is that's the reason I want to ask him about the testimonies, about Disney, because we should be joyful to point children of the risen King, to be sharing our story with great joy of all the things that God has done for us. That's why I was asking about Disney. And again, Aaron, I love Aaron and Matthew. I love all the kids. Don't start rumors. There's that one. But like when Aaron came home from Florida, I specifically wanted to ask him about his Disney trip. One, because I'm a Disney geek. But sometimes it's hard to find things that he feels connected to. Like, I can talk about soccer, like, just those things that they connect with. And he was here this morning, and Scott, Carrie, don't hate me for these observations, but he just like all the kids running around, they're doing all this other stuff. And I said to Aaron, I really want to hear about your Disney trip. And he just stopped and he focused in and just told me everything about that Disney trip, what he liked, what he didn't like, what he would do the next time he did it again, for probably about another 10 minutes. I just really focus in, because that was something that was really, really special to him and really meant something to him. And I wonder, if we're honest, like, when's the last time you shared your testimony with joy to anybody? Maybe within the last 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months. And if we're talking years, we got a whole other thing you want to be praying about, because we should be joyful about this life that Christ has entrusted us with. And then trusting. As well. There was nothing within any of these conversations that they just knew Mom and Dad had it. They knew Mom and Dad had it in these case scenarios. And I know there's extreme situations. I know that there's bad parenting. I know that there's other things out there. But as a general understanding of what Christ is trying to say to us, why do we fret so much? And again, this is last week's sermon. I don't want to beat you up on it too much. But why do we fret so much about it? And if we think about this and say, okay, if Jesus is serious that we should be childlike and that's how we experience the kingdom of God, what do I truly do with that? I would like to see someday, and I don't know how they would actually get these stats, but like, what is the percentage of people that sit under Jesus' teaching? Oh, okay, just like a sermon, and we're looking at what Jesus says, and they say, man, you know, that just really, the kids were awesome, and I that really meant something to me, and I know I need to change in this, in this blessing, I prayed with tears, and then we actually did something, and we actually changed. I'd like to know what those statistics are. I don't think they're good. I don't think they're good. But we have the opportunity to choose, because all this is a matter of choice, to live differently than what the world has for us. As we get older, because this is our DNA. The kids didn't learn how to do this. This is our DNA, and as we get older, we learn anxiety. As we get older, we learn how to complicate things. As we get older, we look at how to feel insecure, or how to have a life that feels more drudgery than what we did as kids. So it's really not a matter of going, man, I miss being that age. I mean, wouldn't you love to be 16? You start, you have your license, and you can actually use your paycheck for whatever you want to, and you got your buddies. You just go act like idiots, and there's absolutely no repercussion. Sure. But what makes it tough from there? The world does. The world does. Yeah, I had to start paying bills, and I had to get a job, and I have this, and I have that. Okay, let's go back to that trusting. Because the circumstances can change, but that doesn't mean we have to change. We have to continue to lean into this fullness of what he's called us to. When we say, I wish I could go back, Jesus is saying, but you can. But you can. Matter of fact, you have to. Because to have the freedom in this life that I have for my children, you have to act and think and embrace being a child. And that's our choice. Or it can just be a moment this morning, and then we just go back to the same old crap. Right after this, you look in verse 19, or chapter 19, and I won't read it, but read it afterwards. It's pretty commonly known. But you see, when Jesus stops his teaching to love on these kids, the very next thing after he says, let me make sure I get his wording correctly, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. There's a guy in the crowd that takes that to mean eternity. Okay, so that's how he's defined it. And it does mean eternity, but that's the aspect that he looks into. And we call him the rich young ruler. You guys know that one? So when Jesus is doing this point with the kids, he steps up and says, Master, what must I do to have eternal life? Okay, you're telling me to become like a child. What must I do? And so Jesus tells him several of the Ten Commandments. You'll notice that within those Ten Commandments, he does not cover the first two or three, which are about where God is in our life. He talks about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Don't commit adultery. Don't commit murder. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. And as he listens to them, he says, I'm nailing those. I do all those. And he's probably feeling pretty darn good about himself. He's got money. He's got a good life. And this new rabbi that's going around that everybody thinks is the bomb is telling him you're doing exactly what you need to do. And so he puffs up a little bit and says, that's great. Is there anything else? Is there a way that I can go up to that next tier? Is there a way that I can become up here in this higher level? And Jesus says, sure. All you got to do is sell all your stuff and give it away. Which takes him back to those first couple commandments. Put God first. He skipped it to kind of set him up a little bit and then go put God first. Because in this young man's life, that was his idol. That was his Lord. And he did what? Walked away. Couldn't do it. He couldn't choose to be childlike. He had to have his own provision. He had to have his own ways. He had to have his own Lord above God to be able to do it. That was his choice. And I tell you, it grieved Jesus. But probably grieved that young man for the rest of his life until he repented as well. So within all of this, he's doing everything. He won't let go, and he walks away from it. But then the question becomes on the other side, well, what if he did? What if he did? What that testimony would look like? And sadly, we don't know if he ever came back around. We don't know if he ever repented. We don't know if he had that change. We don't know if he ever experienced the kingdom of God. He was a good man of good intentions. A lot of people have good intentions to do the right thing. But we have no idea what happened after that. The point is, what do we do after that? Will we walk away from those things? Will we change things? When we talked last week about sitting down and looking at, and again, that's from a financial standpoint. I think we need this from a time standpoint too. Sit down and really work out, like, what am I doing with my money? Because that was the question, right? How do I show God that I trust him and I'm worshiping him through my finances? And you write down everything and you do a budget or whatever the case would be, and you look, then you identify the things that are of God and you embrace them. Do those things that I was raised this way, or I want this, or whatever, and not put so much focus on them, that brings freedom. And this is the same thing that he's inviting us to today. Okay, I'm looking around. We've got some people are going to remember Big House by Audio Adrenaline. Yeah, thank you, Mike. Yeah. I mean, it was the 90s, so some are not. But yeah, and the reason why, because it taps into something within us. If you don't know the song, go home and listen to it. Big House by Audio Adrenaline. And the whole thing is just like in our father's house, we can play football, we can have a big buffet. I mean, just all the stuff is like all this freedom in our father's house. And it was huge nationally. And it being a camp person, that was big in the camps and stuff, and it was upbeat and it was fun. And whatnot, but I think it really claimed people because I think this is our hope because this is the way we're supposed to live. And now a big house is not just about tomorrow, but it's also about today. What would happen if you became more simple, like children? What would happen if you just stopped worrying so much about what other people think or how you look, and you could just take that subconscious and just say, I'm just going to enjoy the day. And if somebody else has a problem with it, there's something wrong with them. And I'm just going to follow the Lord on this. What if our testimonies were joyful and our life reflected that? And then the last question would be, what if we just trusted God with our provision? We did our best. We were good stewards with it. I'm not just saying you quit your job and you sit at the house and wait for a check to show up in the mailbox. It doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way 98% of the time. But my daddy's going to buy me my clothes. My mommy has a roof over my head. I don't have to worry about tomorrow because I've got my family. It's a different way of living that we have to choose and to embrace. What would that look like? And I think it's worth the change. I think it's worth the change.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500 or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.